welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today we are in Windsor to link up with a man who has had his life turned upside down. His recent new podcast hit the number one spot in its first week. He's been presenting features on The One Show. He's man of the moment, yet he's known as the most unfaithful man in Britain, as he took the victory in the most recent series of the hit game show, The Traitors. Harry Clark, welcome to the Monday Mile podcast.
Wow, some intro. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Who do we have walking with us this morning?
That's Bosco. Bosco Rina, as my mum and the girls call him in the house, but he's the most amazing dog ever.
He said he's got his doggy aftershave on.
He's got his doggy aftershave on for you, yeah, to impress.
Where are we right now?
So this is Eton. So this is the walk and run I love to do.
And what Good happens boy. When you come and do this run after you've just won the most popular hit reality show in the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's mental, isn't it? My whole life's changed. Even like this is probably the best run to do because you're just like, I mean, there's a load of people around now for a Monday afternoon, but yeah, it's just changing every single way, going on runs, going out to eat and stuff like that. It's like when you get recognized and stuff, it's the most mind-blowing thing ever, and I still haven't got used to it. I'm still like so grateful for everyone that loves and supports. It's mad. All of it's just mad, really.
Going into that show, did you have any idea that taking the win would have this impact? Because everybody kind of went traitors mad, including myself.
Yeah, I know. I obviously got contacted about the show. And then when I heard about the game, I was like, yeah, this is a bit of me. This is quite cool. You know, I've always been mischievous growing up. I've cheated in Monopoly. I've stole a couple 500s here and there as the banker. As I got messaged, I got told about the show, what it entails and how much money you can win. And as soon as I heard up to 120 grand, I was like, you must be joking. When am I ever gonna get the chance to sort of win that sort of money again?
And at the time, you were in the army.
Yeah, I was,
yeah. So the contrast is huge.
Yeah, mental.
Army to reality, how does that sit with you?
It still doesn't make sense now, and I'm sort of trying to get to grips with it. But yeah, I mean, it's just working everything out. So obviously I went from such a regimented life. I knew where I needed to be, what I needed to wear, when I need to be there. Like, it was just everything was so perfect Monday to Friday. That was the hardest thing, is sort of, I lost myself within the 4 month period from now to the end of the show. And it's sort of finding myself again to give myself that sort of regimented life, because that's obviously what I'm used to. I couldn't wish for anything better. I mean, everything that's happened to me is just a dream. I feel so grateful and lucky to be in the position I'm in right now. Like, even on a Monday coming here, doing a podcast with my dog, it's like, this is work, do you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense that this is work, because I've always grown up working a normal 9 to 5, and to be in a job like this and for it to be given to me, basically, I just feel so lucky and grateful every day.
It wasn't given though in a degree, because it takes a lot of mental agility when it comes to essentially playing. Is it a game?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I would call it a game. I mean, I viewed it as a game the whole time I was there, which is why I think I found it quite easy. It's obviously really hard, and like, so the pressure is immense, but I've been in them sort of situations anyway. I feel like I learned it while I was there. Oh my God, I thought he was going to eat a rotten apple.
And when you look back on the show, are you tactically happy with how you played that game?
Yeah, of course.
Would you change anything?
No, I couldn't say I would, because I lay there at night thinking, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, should have kept Paul in for longer as such. But no, I lay there because if any little thing that could have changed, I wouldn't have ended up the way I wanted it to. It might not have led me to winning the whole game. So yeah, it was, I wouldn't change anything. I don't regret anything either. Because like I said, it was game, but also luck, you know. All it took was someone to be like, I think it's you because of so-and-so. And they could always, you can always make up a problem that doesn't even exist. Do you know what I mean? That's why that game's so like mind-blowing, because no one could think it's someone at the start of a round table. And as soon as someone goes, oh, I think it's so-and-so because of this, everyone jumps on it. Then it's like, how do you handle that pressure and sort of fight back? But yeah, laying in bed at night, I definitely wouldn't change anything for the world.
And when it comes to life after the traitors, you have been catapulted into the limelight. There's not been many shows in recent times that have that same effect, other than the likes of Love Island, say.
Yeah.
How are you dealing mentally?
Oh, look at this.
With your dog doing a poo mid-podcast, how are you dealing with that.
Or we just carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
With that new sort of found attention, because it must be weird.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like I said, I've gone from watching people growing up, like on YouTube, like the Sidemen. I've gone from like supporting boxers like Tommy Fury and things like that. And then I've gone and met these people and I've just like trying to act cool, but it's like, you guys don't realize how you gave me my entertainment growing up. So like, this is just mental. And the other day I had an invite to a party and it's just like crazy. That stinks, man.
Doing your good
yeah,
deed for the day.
Life's not changed.
Recyclable as well.
Yeah, of course.
A dog poo always keeps you grounded,
like that,
doesn't
the
it?
The effort in that, that was a little nugget. Like, you could have done something a bit better than that, Roscoe. Cheers, mate. Made it worth my while. That is the most pathetic poo I've ever seen.
So do you think having sort of respected and enjoyed entertainment in the past, it's allowed you to stay grounded in those situations?
Oh yeah, of course.
Because I would imagine Tommy Fury was like, hey mate, well done, congrats, because people know who you are.
Yeah.
You walked into that room at the Sport Industry Awards.
Yeah.
And you know, there's people winning awards and prizes and whatnot, but Harry from the Traitors is here and everyone's looking at you. That must be bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so weird, like my life's been very 50-50, like my whole way through. I mean, there's obviously good and bad to it both. The bad probably in itself from the 4 months and the success of the show is probably losing myself a little bit. Obviously, a council kid from Slough. I go to these events, you know, you finish a drink or you finish a glass of Prosecco or whatever it is. As soon as you finish it, you get another one in your hand. And then I'm looking around to pay the bill and there's no one to pay. So you sort of, I've just been making the most out of it for 4 months. So like, I lost my training, I sort of lost myself a little bit mentally, but just carried on working. And then now I'm sort of finding that balance. But yeah, when I go into a room and it's like celebrity, that's why I still, it doesn't comprehend in my brain that like celebrities I see as in like, oh my God, I'm starstruck. Then say to me, oh, can we get a photo? Like I remember at the BAFTAs, Paul and I were outside and we were like, we're gonna be little and large, you know, the new Ant and Dec, this and that. Like, and then as soon as we walk in, we see them and it's a bit of like, obviously joking around, like, because obviously they don't know who we are. And then we're standing outside the toilet and Dec looks
and,
out and
Ant
says,
and Dec don't know you, who you are.
No, we thought that.
And of course
then,
they
so,
know.
So then as we walked in, obviously they don't know who we are, like why would they?
Yeah.
We're standing there outside the toilet and Dec's come out and gone, I need to get a selfie with you two.
No!
We've just gone, what the hell is going on here? But yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's just absolutely mental.
You've been quite open about your struggles with weight, which I think is really valuable for other men to see, because it is something that everyone does struggle with. You've got the flowing champagne, you've got the event dinners, normally steak,
morning,
potato, gravy, you're doing that every day. How have you adopted this awareness to start making a change? Because you've been very vocal about your running, and we are on your running route now. Has that been hard to deal with?
100%. But then it's just me beats me. So like, me personally, you ask my best friend, who's actually called Harry as well, it's the Harry and Harry Show. We both just love life. So like, I love having a beer, I love going to the pub, and I hate the gym. But at the same time, that was because when I grew up, I was never in the gym. I've never pushed weights. I've never had to work hard because I was always boxing or playing football. So in the army, I boxed for the army. I played football for the army. And if I weren't doing them two things, I'd be playing basketball, or I'd be playing cricket, or I'd be playing tennis. So I was such like an active kid. And then now upon leaving that, obviously, I've had to manage the time of where do I find time to do these sports? Like, where do I find time to go play golf? And it's the same with relationships. It's like the 4 months has been so hectic, but now I'm sort of finding that balance between life and work pretty much. So yeah, like I said, I've just been insecure in myself because I'm at the heaviest I've ever been right now, currently. But again, I think that's because growing up boxing, obviously I go into an 8 week training camp. I won't drink, I won't take away, nothing. I literally go so hard training wise that I'd make them wait anyway. I think about 2022, the Christmas time around then, I'd got jumped actually in Windsor, lost my teeth.
No.
My two front teeth. And then luckily the famous Dr. Richard sorted me out with these two now, but that was my biggest insecurity. But yeah, they fractured my skull. I was like, had a bleed. It was just mental. And after that, obviously I was in this hole of like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be allowed to box again. I'm never going to do this. So now I went from about 80 kilo to about 96, 97. And then come the January, again, the army saved me because I had the Royal Artillery Championships.
Yeah.
And within 8 weeks, I went from 97 to 81 kilo to box cruiserweight.
That's an extreme contrast.
Yeah.
So now looking at how your weeks roll and every single day and every week is different.
Mm.
How are you looking at implementing some sort of structure to help you manage that? And do you have any advice for anyone that's struggling with their weight?
It's just you beats you. So like when it comes to weight, it's do not compare yourself to anyone else you see. Like I know people who are the happiest people you've ever met and they're at the weight of whatever they want to be at. Like you just don't compare yourself to someone. Don't look at someone and be like, oh, I want to look like him, or I want to look like her, or I want to look like whoever it is you're looking at. Just look at yourself in the mirror and see where you want to be. And obviously for me right now, that's somewhere different in the future, which I will get to. So that's my best advice. It's just you beats you, but just smash the hell out of you, basically. I feel like I can speak for a lot of people where I say, like, I always feel like I got a naughty side to me quite clearly, but like a devil on my shoulder that's always like, you know, the bad thoughts or the bad, oh, you're never going to be able to do that, you're never going to be able to do this. So it's basically fear, really. And as soon as you learn to sort of conquer them demons and be like, nah, you know what, I've had enough of this geezer, I like chatting crap in my ear, then that's when you go for it and you go for it hard. And that'd be my best advice. Like, stop comparing yourself to whoever you want to compare yourself to. Obviously look at people, appreciate how they look, appreciate what they've done and how they've got there. But at the end of the day, you're never going to look identical to anyone else. So it's always you beats you. And as long as you start learning to beat you is the way that you'll go forward. And I mean, I've done it in the past. Like, that's what I'm saying, especially when it comes to weight. That's why I feel like these last 4 months after the Traitors, I had lost myself a bit because I'm sort of waiting for another boxing camp to come up. Because like I said, I would train for 8 weeks straight, box, get to the weight, hopefully win. Then as soon as I've not got training, that's when I go down a pub all the time. That's when
I enjoy myself. Are we feeling a manifestation here? Is there a white collar fight coming on, Harry?
Well, there's not much I can say on that, but yeah, I mean, I've been in talks. I'd love to do the Misfits boxing. I've already said it. And hopefully at the start of next year or sometime next year, I'll be in that ring to show what I've got, basically. I just feel like there's that sort of entry for me because I've boxed. I'd love to prove to people that you can't just be like, you know, like people do this for a living. I would never say I'm world class. I would never say I'm the next, I don't know, Tyson Fury or the next this and that. But I'm not someone from a reality show who thinks that they can be the next world champion. Do you know what I mean? So it's like I just want to go there and prove to people you do have to really work for this.
How about running?
Running? Well, I mean,
I'm likely to see you signing yourself up to the London Marathon.
Do you know what the funniest thing is? I run loads, or I did. I've just come off an all-inclusive holiday. But I hate running so much. And it's one of them things.
You're quite vocal about that as well.
I hate running on social media. Yeah, yeah. I just find it so boring. So like, there's only so much tunes I can have playing that will get me through it.
I reckon you need to listen to a good podcast.
Yeah.
The Monday Mile.
The Monday Mile, I know.
That'll get you through it.
Or Harry and Paul Devious. There we go.
That's so true. Tell me about your new podcast, because you went straight to the top of the charts.
Now, that's
not something that happens casually or easily for that matter.
I know, yeah, straight to the top of the comedy charts. And it's like absolutely mental, because the thing is with the podcast, the Harry and Paul Devious like show itself was like, again, the whole way through my life now, I've never expected anything. And me and Paul and I never expected the show to do as well as it's done. So like, we just thought we'll make this because we love each other. We love seeing each other. So it's like where we can come together once a week and just talk, you know, make a podcast. We don't care how it does. And then funny enough, it's actually gone on and smashed it. And we can, again, be more grateful, happier with how it's gone.
Do you enjoy the media side of things? Because you've literally been catapulted into that. It's almost as if you don't have a choice. It comes by association with your success.
What, like as in the papers and stuff?
Or like more like
Instagram, TikTok. That's what I find the hardest.
Doing...
Instagram, the TikToks, social media, because I'm the least... social media person, if that makes sense. That makes no sense.
Social media person.
I feel like I'm going to be walking with this poo the whole podcast. So if you don't like dog poo,
We're looking for a bin.
But yeah, when it comes to like filming Instagram videos, I'm just always slacking, because before, when I was in the art, I was private and everything. So I never had to get my phone out or this and that. And I was very much one as in living the moment. You're like, your memories just be there present. You don't have to always film everything. And now it's like, well, I've got to film everything because I owe it to everyone to let them see what life's like now.
Do you find that intrusive?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky because Hannah, my partner, she's like a social media influencer and she does social media marketing as like a side job as well. She's really good at. So all my reels, all my Instagram stuff is produced by her.
Oh, amazing.
I literally just film what she tells me to film and try and remember to film it in the first place. Then once I've done it, I send it to her. She clips it together and then just tells me what to post. She checks my caption because I'm so dyslexic. All my captions never make sense. She goes through my caption. She fills all that out for me. So again, like I said, I am very lucky to be in the place I am. Very grateful because not only did I win the show and get on the show in the first place because of other people, I've been put in this position today by other people again. So it's like I just owe everything to everyone, really.
It's an amazing place to be, but also a tricky one.
That's
because
a dream,
there are people pulling you in a multitude of directions, and it's staying true to your core and following the path you want to follow as well. Where do you see yourself in a year's time?
It's a hard one because it's just like uncharted waters. Do you know what I mean? I just want to do a bit of everything, and I love everything as well. There's not been one thing that I've done where I've been like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. Like the presented the one show the other day, like first time as like
a solo presenter. Dude, that's like top tier stuff.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It doesn't really get bigger than that.
I know, it's literally like, and also at the same time, I was working with kids who have behavioral and special educational needs. So like they struggle in school and their way out was fishing. So it's like I connected with them on fishing. And also I felt like I connected with them on a different level as well because I struggled in school. I had too much energy for school, you know, like I needed to do something different. Hence why I joined the army. So I'm working with kids. It doesn't even feel like I'm presenting a TV show because I get so indulged in just chatting and connecting with these people that you forget about what's going on around you really. And that's been the most exciting thing about everything.
You mentioned you're just back from holiday. You vocalised that was a dream of yours to take your family away.
100%.
Being there, having the money to pay for it all. Was that a pinch me moment?
Yeah, and the best thing is I got to do it all again next year because my older brother and one of my little sisters couldn't make it. So they're like, we're expecting one next year too. And I can't wait again because I'll hopefully be able to do that again next year. And just being in the sun and seeing all my family just smile and, you know.
Does that, knowing that they'd love to do that again, give you an inner fire to keep grinding?
Yeah, 100%. Everything I do in life, like the thing is that's crazy is like I still have that little bit of like stress and anxiety that it's all going to end next week.
Yeah.
But I'm also happy with that. So it's like whenever I've done anything in my life, my granddad, who's like was my idol growing up, he's always taught me like give everything 100%. So if it ever comes to an end, you can look back and be like, well, I couldn't have done any better, now on to the next thing. So my sort of thing was in the traitors as well. When I was in the castle, when I box, I train so hard. So it's not even about the night. It's like I've already won when I get into the ring. So if I lose, the better man's won, he's beat me. As long as I can hold my head up high and be like, I couldn't have done anything more. Because he says, as soon as you get out of the ring and you say, oh, I could have thrown this punch or I could have went on that morning run, then he'll just say to me, well, why didn't you? So when I was in the castle, it was, if I look back and I say, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that a bit better, well then why didn't I? So then it's the same with this whole mad 4 months of my life. If I look back in a week and I go, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that, well then why didn't I? So every day I live life like that. So if it does end next week, I can be like, what a mad ride that was, but back to work.
Does it put you in a position of constantly saying yes? Have you heard about that theory of saying yes to everything, which can take you on some ridiculous rides?
Yeah, of course.
Or is it calculated?
Nah, yeah, it's definitely calculated. Again, so lucky for the people I have in my life. Obviously Alex, my manager at Intertan, he's like the boss. I call him the boss. Obviously we work together, but there's been many of things I've said no to, like just because I haven't felt right or the time was right. And because obviously he and I want to build that sort of longevity career, it's all about having that nice backing behind us where I do stuff which actually means something to me. I don't want to just say yes to everything and sort of be one of them people. I just want to do stuff that means something to me and where I can help people, you know?
And you were saying about that feature you presented for the one show.
Yeah.
That just sounds like pure passion. And when you're in a place where you're enjoying everything you do, you will succeed and continue to thrive.
Well, that's the plan. I mean, like every day now, it's just that I feel guilty because of how good my life feels to me right now. Like as in work-wise, because every day feels like a Friday. Today feels like a Friday, do you know what I mean? When I was in the army, I'd sort of signed off. I was ready to move on to the next thing. And I was actually going to go work on trains in London.
Doing what?
Like a maintenance sort of guy.
Yeah.
But it's for a load of money. So because obviously I'd got an engineering NVQ in the army for avionics technician. So I was a helicopter engineer. And obviously if you fix something that flies, you can pretty much fix anything with just the right training. So yeah, I had signed off in the army. I was going to go do that because it just felt like, you know, I needed something more in my life. I was getting back to camp on a Monday and I was like, oh, I can't wait for Friday. I miss my family again already.
Yeah.
I miss my mates. I don't have enough time. Like, the weekends were so busy. I had to spread it out between everyone. And it was just like, what do I do next? I want to stop living for the Fridays and just enjoy life for every day, because life is so precious, you know, like it could end in a blink of an eye. People don't really realize that. And once you see that, say firsthand, or you know people who happen to, you sort of start to appreciate life so much more. And this job makes me do that, because I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know what we're going to get up to in the week. But I know every day is going to be something different and just as exciting. So in that case, every day for me is a Friday, and it's the best feeling in the world.
That's an acute awareness to have at your age and so early on into your second career. Do you think your background in the army has given you that stable base
to 100%.
Be that mentally visual on the reality
of
life? Like, I feel whole hearing you say that.
Yeah, it's weird, because to me it's like I'm just me, sort of. I'm just Ken, Barbie reference there. But now, like, because Paul says that all the time, he's like, you're so mature in the point in life you are for, like, how you view it. And that's just because of my family, my friends around me. Everyone's dream is to be rich, but rich to me, being rich is like the happiness that I have around me and the loved ones. And when you grow up and you see, you know, some families are distorted, some families are broken, like they're not like my family. That makes me appreciate my family even more and how lucky again I am. So yeah, that's my richness anyway.
Is money a financial driver based on the fact that you did win so much, or has that relationship?
Oh, yeah. He's so ready, but he's probably knackered.
Has that relationship with finance stayed the same?
100%. I'm still around. That's why I'm so lucky, because everyone says, oh, you know, some people will be like, oh, make sure you stay grounded, make sure you remember where you're from. It's like, well, why am I ever going to forget that anyway? Because I'm always going to be where I'm from. Like, I'm going home now. I'll get back to my course on my dually that I've had for 6 years since I've been driving. I don't need another car. That car gets me from A to B. So like, when it comes to money, like I said, I use that money to make the people around me happy as much as I can, because it buys them freedom. Like, being able to let my dad not stress about money to take all of us on holiday, which he's had to do. Like, my family haven't been abroad since 2010. That was the first time me and my brothers and sisters have been around a pool in the sun somewhere other than the UK. So to be able to do that, that's again what makes me happy. And yeah, like I said, money doesn't buy you happiness, it just buys you freedom. And allowing to do them things is, I mean, the greatest feeling ever. But don't get me wrong, obviously money is a big drive, because the more you've got, the more freedom you have and the more happiness you get. So it's like, you can probably tell, I just want to conquer everything. Everything I do, set my mind to. You ask me again in a year where I want to be, I don't even know where I want to be in a year. But if it's not somewhere at the top, then it's like, well, I need to keep going for next year.
So you've done one reality show.
Yeah.
Would you consider doing another? And how would you feel if you didn't win it? Because you've come straight in like a rocket.
Yeah.
Creamed the crop, taken the money from the top. See you later.
Yeah. It's so hard. That's what I mean. Because again, I didn't go into the castle or the show to win that money and quit my job. I went in to win that money, go home, the cost of living crisis, this and that. How was I ever going to afford my first place? Do you know what I mean? So it was like, I wanted to go there, win that money for me and my family, then go home back to work, leave the army, work as on a train somewhere in London. And then that would have just been a head start as like a house. And then suddenly it's blown up into me being allowed to do things like this, which again, I could have never wrote in. If you gave me a notebook and was like, right where this traitors could take you, I wouldn't have got anywhere near close to these last 4 or 5 months. I've just gone straight off topic, haven't I? Sorry.
No, you haven't at all. But that's the reality of your life right now.
Yeah.
There's no straight train track to success.
Yeah.
You're on a train with no tracks.
Yeah, and I said that all the time when I was in the castle. Like, I had a, come on, boy. Good boy. so that when it comes, yeah, like reality shows, again, now it's like work, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, I would love to do some more reality shows. I enjoyed it so much, you know, like a camera being in my face.
Did you?
Sounds so cocky, but yeah, I loved it. The camera being in my face and me being me, and then just connecting with people, bonding. And then it's an experience and it's a game, wasn't it? It was a game. So when it comes to like game shows like that, I would love to do it. Maybe something like The Jungle, being in there with all of the games. Then I don't really know what else I'd want to do, to be honest.
How are you with your like eating of food?
If it comes to reality shows, it's like things to challenge myself.
Yeah.
So like The Jungle, I'm the fussiest eater ever. People say fussy, I say simple, because all I need is some chicken nuggets and chips and I'll be happy as Larry or happy as Harry for the next 4 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, when it comes to Jungle, if I had to eat a testicle or a vagina or something like that, obviously in animals, I would be sick.
You'd be strugged.
Yeah, so yeah, that would be my fear. Also, I hate insects. So I just don't get the point of them. You know, like flies and cockroaches and stuff.
Would you be embarrassed, do you think? Would we see a different Harry if we were to see you fail? Because all we've done is 100%. See you succeed.
Yeah, I know, which is like...
What would we see, do you think?
Well, obviously, everyone has flaws and everyone fails through everything. So it's like, again, that's why them reality shows would be such a great opportunity for people to see more of me. Because right now you've just seen me in a castle just deceiving people and playing gameplay. When it comes to actual life, I'm the most clumsiest person ever. He just laid down.
Go on, Bosco.
Like before I even joined the army, I didn't even know that I was a southerner. So it's like, people don't know that. Like I'm so, like my mates call me the thickest person ever. It's just I'm really book smart. I don't know whether that's because I'm dyslexic or not, but yeah, like I'm very clumsy when it comes to general life.
And when you say book smart, are we talking school and like your ability to remember stuff? Or?
Yeah, my memory's quite good.
Okay.
My memory's really good. Yeah, so when it came to school, no, that's what I mean. So like I joined the army and the first thing that ever happened to me, I remember this northerner come up to me and was like, morning. Came up to me and was like, oh, AOP lad, are you like, where are you from? You're a southerner, yeah, something like that. Don't quote my northern accent, by the way, I'm sorry.
AOP lad.
And I was like, what has just happened? I like, looked at this geezer, was like, is he on from Earth? Do you know what I mean? Like, because I'd never heard that accent before in my life. I'd only ever known Slough. So yeah, he said that to me and I've gone, oh my gosh, like, what do I say, yeah? And I was just like, oh, now I'm a Westerner. He sort of looked at me and gone, what? And I was like,
From the West Country.
I was like, I guess I'm a Westerner. So this guy was obviously thinking I'm from like America or something. He was like, now where are you from? I was like, West London, innit? Because to me, other than Slough, I thought it was north, south, east or west.
Right.
So I thought I was a Westerner to him. And then he just looked at me and went, you're the thickest southerner I've ever met. And I don't think he spoke to me for the rest of the time.
Well, your sphere of life has, I can imagine, opened up quite significantly.
Yeah.
Since The Traitors, because you have been all over the UK since it finished.
Yeah, the army as well, I say.
True.
I was deployed overseas. I learned something new every single day. We used to have a whiteboard actually, when we was deployed overseas. And one of my sergeants, he used to write down like something for me in the day that I needed to learn like a mad word.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I only found out the other day what confectionaries were. I didn't know it was like, I thought they were knife and forks, but it's tomato ketchup in there, isn't it? So then he would put that on the board, then I'd write a bit of slang and then teach them a bit of slang. So it's basically
that equal balance, balancing things out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I find myself in a situation often where I get annoyed when people ask me, what's next? What's next? Have you caught yourself in a situation where everyone's asking you,
What's the next thing is? Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, for me, I'm like, is what I'm doing now not enough? It gives me this sense or feeling
you need
of...
You need to be doing more.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you ever just look and go, yeah, I'm cool with...
Nah, never. I'm never content. Like I've said this, that there'll be little things in my life, like the holiday.
So nothing is ever enough. You are on the trajectory of we must drive the train.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's that old generational sort of way I've been brought up by like my granddad, but it's like my family and obviously my missus and everyone else, friends, mean so much to me that it's like, okay, I'll do it so then you don't have to worry about it. So it's like I'll put them all on my back and I'll work as hard as I can, get as much as I can from this life to give to them. Like I'm already working now for my kids. I don't even have kids. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, I'm already planning for my kids and then their kids. What life can I sort of offer them? And that's why I'm just never happy. I'm happy in a sense of where I'm at right now, but yeah. I know I could be happy. I know I could be doing more. So it's like, was very similar in that way, I guess, that you're the same sort of, oh, I need to be doing more.
Never, yeah, it gives enough, you, enough. When people constantly ask you that, what's next, it does give you a sense of like, oh, well, is it not enough? But actually, you know, deep down in your core, you've got more to give, and there's that fire in your belly.
And that's the same when you're saying, like, we was talking about me looking at myself thinking I was overweight. For certain people, I wouldn't be overweight. And I love that people would think that, because be who you want to be. But for me personally, it's because I know where I can be. And I know where I want to get to. So that's why I struggle with my weight right now. But yeah.
What's your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week?
Monday now?
Yeah.
I absolutely love Mondays.
Yeah.
We're on a Monday mile. It's things like this. Yeah, like I said, talking about every day's a Friday. Monday now is just, it's exciting, you know. But when I was in the army, I used to hate Mondays.
Yeah.
It would be my worst day of the whole week.
And in that moment, when you're in the army and you hated Monday, because there'll be a lot of people listening to this that can really relate to that.
Yeah.
How did you pick yourself up?
Do stuff you enjoy. Like, literally, that's my best advice. And when I saw that, and when I hit about 21, 22, like, who actually cares? Do you know what I mean? Like, I saw the, you know, the quote that, like, in 100 years, will just be a distant memory. Someone will have the car that you worked so hard to pay for. Someone will have the house that you now live in. So, like, live life to the fullest and do what you enjoy. And even if you feel like you can't get there, just manifest, because there's some way you can get there. And I don't know what way that is. And use me for an example, because you go to my dad now, we can even take the camera to him. Like, he will say to you, I always used to say to my dad, don't worry, dad, like, I got this. Like, I know I'm going to be all right and you're going to be all right. He'd be like, how? I remember I tried day trading while I was in the army. I tried Forex. I like gave everything a go. And I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I will be there at some point. I'll be able to take you away on holiday. I'll be able to do this for you. I'll be able to buy you that. I'll be able to buy you this. It somehow happened. And I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. So it's like, I never believed in manifestation. So I'd be like, so I'm quite religious as well. So I'd always pray, thanks for my whole family, people I love, but like, help me be better. And then suddenly I'm here, which is why when I like take my family on holiday and when I give them things and when we're allowed to do things like this, I appreciate it so much, because people don't know how long I've been dreaming of this for, basically.
You are such a good egg. You say you don't manifest, but I feel like we're already manifesting the white collar fight. Maybe I'll join you, because I do a bit of boxing myself.
They do a tag, they do a southpaw.
Oh, no, I said I do a bit of boxing myself.
I know we spoke about it, didn't we?
Yeah, I do a little boxing. Bit.
Yeah, bang, so, bang. You know. They did an old tag team fight as well. We could do a tag team. Yeah, we could do a tag team.
Let me at them. I actually don't think I could hit anyone. I just do
really?
The pads.
Yeah,
I'm quite softy, really. And lastly, Harry.
Yeah.
Do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah.
To inspire them to have this uplifting, positive energy. Yeah. That you've shared with us today.
Yeah, I mean, my life motto I used to live by, which is a bit of a cheeky one, I'd say, if you can't be good, be careful. There's always somewhere, somehow you can always get what you want. So if you can't be good, be careful. Just keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N. Just keep
living. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. Harry, thank you so much
for joining us
and taking us on your delightful little running route.
Yeah, I'll see you in the ring, tag team.
Yeah, Misfits, or marathon training.
Or marathon.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a marathon, but it'll take me a long, long time to train.
You heard it here. Harry wants to do a marathon. Boom, let's sign him up. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you subscribe to the audio. It drops every single Monday morning in the early hours for the early risers. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. Woo!